30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, we're going to be reading verses 10 through 13. Deuteronomy 30, verse 10. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? In this passage of Scripture, the Lord's speaking, and he says, you have the Word of God. You have my Word. And it's available to us today. It's accessible to us today. It wasn't necessary to go to heaven and bring it down. And there's no need to travel to foreign parts to receive it. So what we have here is God's Word is available, and we have it today in printed form right here. My subject today is, listen to this, the God-preserved Word of God. God has preserved His Word, and we have it here today, holy, complete. In Romans chapter 10, verses 6 through 8, let's turn over to Romans chapter 10. Paul was quoting from the scripture I just read here. Romans 10, 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I started verse 8. I meant to start in verse 6. Let me back up. Verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we believe. So here we have Paul saying that we have the word of faith. Well, what does that mean, the word of faith? We believe by faith that this is the God's word, God-preserved word. Now, we can approach this topic several different ways. We can look at it historically or textually or validate the manuscripts, and there's much evidence for all those. But I want us to look at today through just like any other Baptist doctrine that we would look at. Baptism, doctrines of grace. What do we get it from? We get our proof from here. That's where we want to get the proof from today, God's Word, that we have the God-preserved Word in our hands today. First of all, it's proved in the Bible. Inspiration and preservation are linked in the Scriptures. God has written a book over a period of approximately 1,600 years and penned by writers spoken to by the Holy Spirit. Now, we have from Genesis to Revelation, we have all that word. It's over 1,600 years and many writers. I think maybe over 40 writers, if I'm not mistaken. And it's a miracle that it's all from the beginning to the end and it all lines up. There's nothing false in it. And you have to believe that by faith. Just like you have to believe that we wasn't there when God created Adam and Eve. But we know that it happened. We know that it's truth. The Bible is proved us to us that it is true. And we are here today. If it were not for that, we wouldn't be here. So we have proof that of creation. So we have proof that God has preserved His Word right here. Did God give those writers what He wanted them to have? Did He give those writers what He wanted us to have nearly 1,600 years later? But we have God's Word just as it was whenever they wrote it. It's preserved. Did God inspire the Word only to the writers? Or did He preserve it forever? Do we have it in our hands today? Actual parchments don't exist today, but do we have God's Word today? And I'm going to prove by God's Word, it proves that to us, Lord willing. As mentioned before, inspiration and preservation are linked. You can't separate these two. The Bible teaches the verbal, plenary, and inspired Word of God. This means that the very words were given by choice and penned by the writers. The Word is divine and preserved by chain link succession, just as we believe the church is. So we believe that the church, that Mount Pleasant Baptist Church was, there was a chain link succession from the first church in Jerusalem up until the church that we have, that we're a member of today. And the Bible teaches that, and we believe that by faith. But we don't have, we probably can't prove that on paper. But how do we believe that? By faith. God's Word said it would be that way. And we believe it. The Word is divine and preserved by chain link succession. God wrote a book for a purpose, to reveal Himself and give and sustain our life and to live by it. It was thoroughly furnished us and it is preserved for us today in written form. It is of high value. God's Word is of high value. So high, let's turn over to Psalms 138 and see how high it is. Psalms 138, verse 2, the last part of verse 2. For thou, pay attention to that, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God's word is above His name, is above God. And pay attention to thou. Thou, talking about the Lord God. He has magnified it above His name. Is His word available to us today? Do we still have His word? Listen to this. I'll quote this, read this. We don't have to turn. Exodus chapter 24, verse 3 says, all the words, pay attention to that, words, all the words which the Lord has said will we do. Deuteronomy 6:6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Deuteronomy 9:10. And the Lord delivered unto me two tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. Deuteronomy 12:28. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever. Deuteronomy 18:18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Deuteronomy 30:14. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. The declaration of the words are preserved. The extent of the preservation and inspiration are words, not just the main idea of the words. So we have people today in trying to tap these different, I don't know what you call them, I guess you call them versions, they're not translations. And they say, well, the main idea is there, and that's what we're making this Bible out of, is we're just using the main idea and so everybody can understand it. Well, it says here, all the words are preserved, each and every word. And the psalm that we read in 128, notice the most important thing of this whole doctrine, the agent, thou. God is the agent of inspiration and preservation. We are not the agent of preservation. God is the agent of preservation. And notice the period. It's forever. God's word is preserved forever. He is the agent. He's the one that's preserving it. Not us. Not these people that are writing these new so-called Bibles. Psalm 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. The counsel of the Lord is forever. Psalm 100:5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 111:7-8. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and are done in truth and uprightness. Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Isaiah 48. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Isaiah 59:21. As for me, this is my covenant with them. Here we go. This is a covenant he's made with his people, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Now, after reading all those verses, do you think it's preserved forever? Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. John 19:35. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. So we read all these scriptures to prove the Bible proves the Word of God is forever. It lasts forever. So far we've seen that God has wrote a book for a purpose. He has made it available to us and it is everlasting. What is it that is preserved? Let's get in a little bit more detail. As a unit and as individual words, God's Word is preserved through His whole book, the 66 books, and each word is preserved. Don't change the Word of God, not even one jot or tittle. Remember, God is the agent, not man. It is preserved through reproduction and translation. That's how the Word of God is preserved, that we have it in our language today. And remember, the agent is God, not the translators. He used the translators, just as He uses His men to faithfully proclaim the Word of God. He uses those translators, but God is the agent. God preserved His original word or words and also through translation. It is blasphemous to say God only preserved His word in the original languages because you call God a liar as He said He would preserve it forever. He preserved not only the original languages but each word. All the words occurs 122 times in the Bible with emphasis on words. Deuteronomy 8:3, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Proverbs 35 and 6, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Don't add to God's word. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So here we have the proof that God has preserved His word forever and is pure. To what degree does God keep His word pure? Completely or partially? If we don't have all the words, then you make God a liar. We have all the words, or you doubt the validity of God. We have no reason to doubt. So if God preserves all the words and they are translated to our language, then nothing is lost in translation. Some say that we have lost some of God's pure words through translation. But if you say that, then you say that God's word is less pure. And His word says His word is pure and will last forever from seed to seed. God has wrote a book. He's made it available to us. It is a pure everlasting. It is preserved through reproduction and translation. How has it been preserved? What part has been preserved? It has been preserved in written form. That's what we have today. It's in written form. Now, I'm going to give the pastor a plug. He doesn't put a whole lot of faith in digital formats as far as the Word of God goes. I use them often, but I still have my Bible, and they can't take this away from me. They might take, as he says, they might wipe my computer clean and I won't have it anymore, or I won't be able to access it through the internet. But unless someone physically takes this from my hand, I still have this. Better yet, if they come and take this, I have some of it memorized. And the more I memorize, which I'm not very good at memorization, I'm working on it. But they can never take that away from us. We have it up here. In 2 Corinthians, we read of a reign of King Josiah, and the book of the law of Moses was found in the temple after a wicked reign of 52 years by two previous kings. So we had two previous wicked kings that reigned, and then Josiah, during his reign, they were cleaning out the temple, and they found the book of the law of Moses. Notice, if you read that, I'm not going to read that, but if you read chapter 2nd, I've got that wrong, I think it's 1 Chronicles, chapter 34. If you read that account, you will see and notice the words book, a book, the book, all the words in the book. As you read through this account, God preserved the whole book, not just parts of it. This book remained intact throughout all these dark years. All those 50-some years, the book remained. You think back during the dark ages when the Bible during that time was not even... Only the clergy of the false church were supposedly allowed to have the Bible. And some people would have just pieces of it written on paper, and they would take it with them, and it was precious to them. Is your Bible precious to you? Do you read it? Do you think more of it than your cell phone or your job or your most prized possession that you treasure? How do you treasure God's word? In Jeremiah 36, verse 1, in this account, Jehoiakim was king of Israel. The Lord spoke to Jeremiah and was told to write all the words in a book. It was copied by Baruch, a scribe, and read to the king. The king cut out the words he didn't like and burned them, but God preserved them and gave them again to Jeremiah. So if you go and read that account, chapter 36 of Jeremiah, you'll read this account of how this unfolded. Jeremiah, he wrote these words, and they went and read to the king, and the king says, well, I don't like that part. And he cut it out with his penknife and threw it in the fire. And you know what? God give Jeremiah those words again. He can do the same today. If someone destroys the Bible, which it's not going to happen because he said it wouldn't, but if that happens, then he can give it to someone again, and it's pure. It will last forever. So the whole word of God is preserved. If you read that account, he gave them all the words. He spoke to them all the words, and the scribe wrote it down again, just exactly as it was before. It says, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spoke unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. And that's in Jeremiah chapter 2, or Jeremiah 36, 2. And verse 4 says, then Jeremiah called Baruch, which was the scribe, the son of Nera. And Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And verse 36, or verse 6 of 36, chapter Jeremiah 36, 6 says, therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And verse 13 says, then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard. Then, when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. And verse 18, then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. So we have all the words. God has reserved all the words. Can we say that we have all the words as original writers penned? Yes, because we believe God by faith makes them available as he has promised to preserve his word. God oversees the copying through translation. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Verse 18 and 19. Deuteronomy 17, 18. And it shall be when he setteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of his law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levites. And it shall be with him that he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. So we have God's preservation of work through translation, through copies. So we copy the scribes back in the Old Testament. They were very meticulous when they copied. And they copied one letter, each letter at a time. So we have preservation through copying and translation. Joshua 8:32, and he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. Proverbs 25:1, these are also proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. Ezra chapter 7, verse 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon as he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. As a scribe is a copier of the word, a ready scribe, as God gave us in verses 10 through 12. God gave, through the Holy Spirit, the translators knowledge to copy the word faithfully into different languages. He copied the word into the language of the land from the original language. So here, what I'm getting across here is in Babylon, they had a different language. They had it went from Hebrew to Chaldean. Chaldean. There were two different languages, but it was copied word for word. It was translated word for word. Notice not just the words, it is written, but as it is written, meaning the exact words, just as it was written. And remember Psalms 12, 6 through 7, pure words. Pure words means they're complete. They're not just half the word. It's all the word, and it's complete. Verse 12, verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them. Notice the agent. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The agent, is God. God is the preserver, not man. Through translation, it is not lost, or it is not the pure words of God. God has the ability to keep His word through translation. Don't trust the translators, but the agent, God. To what degree does God keep His word pure? If not completely pure, then it is less pure, and God didn't keep His word pure. How can you test the word if you don't believe it is pure? You cast doubt on the word if you say a better translation would be, you are undoing the word of God. Some say they believe it is pure in heaven, but has lost some meaning here on earth through the years. If so, you violated our text verse. If so, then why do you quote, preach, and live by it? So if you say God's word is pure, or you say it's not completely pure, how can you trust it? If you can't trust all of it, how can you trust a little bit of it? You don't have to make apologies for this book if you believe by faith you have the pure word of God. God's word is correct, accurate, and reliable. You can build your life upon it. Because what we have is the pure word, you don't have to know Greek and Hebrew. Nothing wrong with using those helps, but rely upon God's pure word. If you don't trust God to preserve His word, how can you trust Him to preserve your soul? Okay, let me recap here a few minutes. God has written a book. He's made it available to us. It is everlasting. It has been purely preserved through copies and translation. And it is believed by faith. So there's the key right there. You have to believe God's word by faith. And I can see where a lost person doesn't have the ability. God has given them the ability to believe. God hasn't given them the ability to believe that this word is true. And a lot of them will read through and they'll call some of these stories or fables in the word of God. But they're miracles, and we're not there. We didn't see them happen, but we believe them by faith. So believe God's word is pure by faith.